A pilot's Bill of Rights is proposed in the Senate. Herzman will be nominated for another term at NTSB. And ANA pilots practice for the Dreamliner's arrival. This is Zero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 6th, 2011. In the U.S. Senate this afternoon, Oklahoma Republican and veteran GA pilot and CFI James Inhofe will introduce legislation he's calling a pilot's Bill of Rights. He previewed it yesterday during comments on unrelated legislation, and his office has released a few details about what's in the bill. The FAA would be required to grant to the pilot all relevant evidence, such as the air traffic communications tapes, flight data, investigative reports, flight service station communications, at least 30 days before any action could actually be taken. In provisions which seem patterned after the Miranda warnings we've all seen on the TV cop shows, the FAA would have to tell pilots of the nature of an investigation, advise us that we're not required to respond to letters of investigation, and caution us that any response could be used as evidence against us. There are also provisions designed to simplify the NOTAM system and preclude cases such as the latest against Inhofe himself, in which he was accused of failure to follow a NOTAM that was never issued till 11 days after the incident for which he was cited. There are more details on Inhofe's pilot's Bill of Rights in the text version of this story, dated July 6th, at aero-news.net. We're also hoping to get a word with the senator, and if we do, the conversation will be posted in the next couple days as an Aero News special feature. The White House has announced that President Obama will nominate Deborah Herzman for another term at the NTSB. She's been with the board since 2004 and has been a particularly strident critic of the FAA since becoming chairman. Herzman has personally worked 19 accident sites since joining the board. While she said she would not campaign for the job, she did tell The Hill that she had hoped to be renominated. Quote, "I feel privileged to lead a great agency with a great mission," unquote. The nomination must be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. While Americans spent Monday sending fireworks skyward to commemorate bombs bursting in air, crews of All Nippon Airways were taking off in the 787 Dreamliner to practice dispatch procedures on actual airline routes they'll fly when they get the first Dreamliner delivered in August or September. Airline CEO Shinichiro Ito said ANA is proud to be the 787's launch customer. Quote, "The Dreamliner is an integral part of our plans to become Asia's number one airline and will allow us to bring new standards of comfort and service to our passengers. Validating all of our training and preparations for the Dreamliner is critical to help ensure a smoother entry into service for our passengers and crews later this year," unquote. The 787 debuted in Asia Sunday with a landing at Haneda Airport in Tokyo. More than 1,000 media, ANA employees, and aviation enthusiasts gathered to welcome the flight after a nonstop from Seattle. ANA has 55 Dreamliners on order. Last summer, the Fulton County Commission in Georgia approved borrowing $5 million from the federal government to build an aviation cultural center to honor the Tuskegee Airmen. It will be located on a vacant patch of grass in a blighted neighborhood adjacent to the entrance of Fulton County Airport Charlie Brown Field. The plan had its critics, especially given a county budget gap projected to hit $100 million in 2012. But a $26.4 million bond measure to fund the Aviation Museum and Community Center and other projects was passed by voters. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the facility, at 13 to 15,000 square feet, was originally envisioned as a much larger museum on the scale of College Park Aviation Museum in Maryland or the San Diego Air and Space Museum in Balboa Park. But when the scaling back happened, apparently some county commissioners missed the fact that the new facility was now a community center with no gift shop, no admission fees, which also means no tourists and no opportunity to bring in revenues. Commissioner Emma Darnell, who represents that county district and who pushed for the project, said revenues were never the point and that the purpose of the project is to use stimulus money to help surrounding communities hit by the recession. Regarding the confusion among her fellow commissioners on just what the facility would be, she commented, quote, "It was sort of unfortunate that the term museum was used," unquote. The hefty federal loan will have to be repaid by the county with interest. Annual costs to maintain the aviation-themed community center are estimated at $350,000 a year. For that, the county will get a building with meeting rooms, performance space, and classrooms, and possibly a fixed display with information about the Tuskegee Airmen. The project is moving forward and is expected to be completed by early 2013. Proponents hope the new facility will provide constructive activities for kids and a lift in general to the neighborhood known for cheap motels and graffiti. But Georgia State Representative Lynn Riley, who voted against the project when she was a county commissioner, says, quote, "It was represented as a museum. If the use is going to change from that, I think the taxpayers need to know," unquote. Regarding the budget dilemma, she adds, quote, "Anything that is outside the scope of mandatory government services should be off the table," unquote. Airbus has announced that Quovadis, its flight operations services company, will participate in the development of a full performance-based navigation network at a total of 11 airports in the Philippines, in cooperation with the French Civil Aviation Authority and the Civil Aviation Authority of the Philippines. When completed, the project will enable the entire region to benefit from the advantages of increased air traffic management capacity and reduced emissions through shorter tracks, and will help transform the Philippine airspace into one of the most advanced PBN-optimized ATM regions in the world. The program includes procedure design and obstacles data survey training and training for air traffic controllers and flight safety inspectors. Quovadis is, appropriately, a Latin phrase which translates roughly to, "Where are you going?" Still ahead, an airshow performer survives the loss of an aileron. Another is lost after a wire strike. And the NOTAM for the last shuttle launch is posted. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 6th. I'm Paul Plack. It's been a busy few days for accident investigators. Spectators at this past weekend's Battle Creek Balloon Festival air show in Michigan got a disconcerting look Sunday into the risks faced by aerobatic performers. John Klatt's Panzel S-330 lost its left aileron during a series of snap rolls, but he was able to get the plane leveled out even as the control surface fluttered to the ground. In one video posted on YouTube, the excited chatter of air show announcer Phil Dacey is heard to stop completely immediately following the separation. And the recording captures spectators left to assume the worst is about to happen as they see emergency responders gathering. Instead, as reported by the Battle Creek Inquirer, performer Rob Holland, who was waiting on the runway to perform after Klatt, took off to get a closer look at the damaged plane. Klatt then made a safe landing without injury. The plane was said to be damaged extensively. Scott Russell, a spokesman for John Klatt Air Shows, told the paper the incident happened within the air show box and said of Klatt, quote, "His safety was not in jeopardy, and no one on the ground was in jeopardy. We are investigating along with the Federal Aviation Administration and the National Transportation Safety Board," unquote. Klatt did not perform on Monday's final day of the show. The FAA has released the identities of two California men who died Sunday night when a Cessna 180 went down in a riverbed near Santa Paula, California, and the Associated Press reports that one of them was 43-year-old James McCauley, Jr. He was better known to West Coast airshow fans as Seamus McCauley. He was in the plane when it apparently hit a wire during an emergency landing attempt following an engine failure. McCauley was a resident of Santa Paula. McCauley's Facebook page notes that his father was a pilot and A&P mechanic who maintained and flew a Cessna 210, and the tradition was passed down. Seamus McCauley performed in West Coast airshows in a biplane he called the Bleagle for Blue Eagle, a modified and strengthened Kristen Eagle with a 350-horsepower Lycoming IO 540, replacing the original IO 360. The other occupant of the Cessna 180 involved in the accident was identified as 40-year-old Kristen Keppel of Glendale. The plane is said to have burst into flames on impact, and the FAA has not determined who was at the controls at the time of the accident. The NTSB will investigate. An 84-year-old pilot was fatally injured Saturday morning when the Sonics he was flying went down shortly after takeoff for reasons that are not yet clear. Ed Noble flew for Epps Aviation following a stint in the Navy. The Rome, Georgia News Tribune reports he lived in DeKalb County in suburban Atlanta, but kept the airplane at Tom B. David Airport in Calhoun, northwest of Atlanta, where there's an established home-built and experimental community. Witnesses said the plane was at 800 to 1,000 feet when it went down. Noble reportedly did not make any mayday call or indicate there was a problem with the airplane. A witness told the News Tribune he heard a sound, quote, like a big aerosol can going off in a fire, unquote. Noble was said to be well-liked and respected at the airport and stayed active, playing tennis as many as 4 days a week. The Adams County, Colorado coroner has identified the pilot lost in last Wednesday's crash of a Cessna 182 when severe weather moved in during an aerial photography mission. The Associated Press reports that pilot was 41-year-old Salil Sinha of Marshfield, Wisconsin. The plane went down in a residential neighborhood just outside of Thornton, west of Denver. Witnesses said there were thunderstorms in the area producing microbursts. The Denver Post reports a witness told KUSA-TV the pilot appeared to be attempting to land when a wind gust caused one wing of the plane to, quote, completely flip up and he nosedived into the ground, unquote. There was a post-crash explosion and fire. The paper also reports weather caused havoc at Burlington Kit Carson County Airport east of Denver, where a hangar was destroyed by what meteorologist David Floyd described as a classic microburst event. Photographs show several badly damaged airplanes under piles of rubble that used to be the hangar. Finally today, another last time for the shuttle program has been announced, but nobody will miss this one. The FAA Friday issued a notice to airmen defining the TFR, which will be in effect around NASA's Kennedy Space Center for the launch of the final space shuttle mission, STS-135. The shuttle Atlantis is scheduled for liftoff at 11:26 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, although weather forecasts show a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms at launch time. The heart of the restricted area is a 30 nautical mile circle centered on KSC, from the ground to unlimited altitude, between 8:11 a.m. and 12:46 p.m. local time. There are to be no aircraft operations of any type in the TFR. Obviously, with the threat of weather delaying the mission, this might not really be the last shuttle TFR NOTAM, so be sure to check just before you fly in the area. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.